think we're good.
I don't know if anybody noticed that, but this sparkling water just tried to take my life. I don't know if anybody saw it. It might have been hard. It was the camera on me at that moment?
Yes.
Yeah, so I don't know how much of that you could see.
Anyone
can like freeze frame that moment, but this thing is mega carbonated as far as sparkling water goes. And I'm not complaining because now that I'm drinking it, but I will know in the future. And I feel like I bought this before and it wasn't.
You're talking about what? Voss?
Voss. I feel like it wasn't so aggressive last time I had it, but
okay.
Who the hell knows? I don't know. It's from Norway, and it's delicious, though. I'll just be honest with you right now. I feel like the carbonation is on a different level, like an upgraded level. I mean, depending what you're into, right?
Okay,
I'm sure there's some people that prefer a more subtle, more Perrier-like, but this experience right now, this is punchy right here.
Oh, good.
It's got
the Norway taste.
It's a punch. It's a sizzle. There's really something to it, Will.
Okay,
to say the least.
Are you going to have it every day? Mm. Is that your main drink?
Mm. Look at that. Like, I mean, that's... Did you hear that? Okay, listen to this for a second. Did anybody hear that? Like, that's... Come on, man. That's really nice. Look at us. Look at us with a bit of a routine.
3 days in a row.
They said it couldn't be done. They said we were the wrong guys for the job. They said
Turns
that.
Out.
I don't know if you knew that, Will. They said that. They've been saying things like that out there. Yeah, in the press. They've been saying that in the press.
The Babylon Bee?
Those are the wrong guys for the job. I guess some professionals in there. Shout out to everybody in the chat. Everybody who's been here, who was part of the pre-show. I don't know if it went as planned. I don't know if Will took anybody's suggestions from the chat, or he may have just ignored everyone. Oh, he did. Okay. Okay, good. Good. That's good to know. I'm glad Will was in there. And the thing is coming together as far as the system is concerned, as far as the variety of mechanisms and the machinery of the show. It's coming together because it's a weird show in the sense that, you know, you're plugging things in and out of it. And you're like, how can we enhance over here and there? And Will's over there like the mad scientist, 47 screens, 22 timers.
Fun job.
67 royalty-free tracks. Actually, you know what? We should shout out IMAX because we're still, you know, we have such an inventory of music from him from like back in the day. And I don't even know what he's up to these days. He, you know, obviously he gave us the clearance, but it's like, shout out IMAX, man. Go look him up. I mean, he's probably on SoundCloud still doing it, whatever it might be.
Yeah.
I remember he was trying to get a new motorcycle the other day. It's a long time ago. Goes to show you how long we've been in the business. How many gray hairs I got in the beard, Will?
Uh-huh.
I'm like Rip Van Winkle over here.
Yeah.
It's how long I've been in the game.
Matches your hoodie.
It's all right, though, because you know what? I was out there last night. I was out there playing hockey last night, Will.
Okay.
And a guy comes up to me and goes, "Oh, man, Lou from my box therapy. What's going on, man?" On the other team.
Oh, okay.
And he's like, "You won't believe this." He's like, "I'm trying to get into the entertainment business as well because I got this, like, little social media agency, and I got these different talent and all the rest." He's telling me all these stuff he's working on. I'm like, this guy looks pretty young, though.
He body checks you.
I go, this guy looks pretty young, though. And I said, what do you mean you started this business in high school? How old are you? Who am I playing against right now? He goes, I'm 20 years old.
There's a lot of hustlers out there.
He goes, I'm 20 years old. But no, that's not the key part of the story.
Okay.
I'm saying those 20-year-olds had to play against Rip Van Winkle over here.
Yeah.
And I held my own.
Oh, okay,
almost
good.
Double that age, and I held my own, ladies and gentlemen.
Yeah.
No, Will, don't just shrug that off, all right?
Did you score?
Actually, no.
No. Okay, there you go.
But I didn't have to. We won 5-1. It was...
Oh, wow.
Yeah. So anyway, like, point being here, Will.
Huh?
Point being is, can't judge a book by its cover, all right?
Yeah. You're spry.
Or in the case of age, maybe you can. because with age comes experience. Now, those are going to be different experiences for each person, but age don't lie. It tells you the amount of exposure you've had to life.
Mm-hmm.
Every little wrinkle, every little follicle that maybe is in your head or maybe it fell out.
Every follicle has experience.
Has an arrow, man. I'm just saying. I'm saying it's evidence of experience. It's evidence of life lived. You know, which always kind of messed me up because, you know, the typical perception of cool in the West has some sort of youthful aspect to it.
Mm.
However, you know me, I'm like language and stuff, I'm a little bit nerdy about it. And so I'm looking at the origin, history, the word cool, and I'm looking at the different interpretations and usages around the world and how varied it is and how different people's impression of what is cool, depending on where they happen to be. And so I found some different forms of cool that are from the East, from like Japan, and different words associated with them of like experience and age and a lot of the design characteristics of art and things have some sort of wear and tear to
them. You're talking about wabi-sabi?
I'm talking about wabi-sabi, but I'm talking about also like shibusa and like... There's a number of different terms in that same area that all imply... And of course, some language scholar in there is like, well, actually, translations and this and that. But I got a new appreciation for the idea of aging and wearing and growing. That if you, like, you think you're born, you grow, and then you start, what, like, decomposing. But, like, maybe the growth is, it, depending on how, and your perspective on it, maybe the growth is actually continuous.
Yeah.
It might not be physical. And it might be like a question of semantics here, but it's a cool thing about age. That's why it gets a little creepy when people try to avoid it. You know how we all have that uneasy feeling when people are just pumping stuff in their face or like they're like just stretching it out and like clipping it behind the ears. They're like, I'm not as old as you think I am.
Uh-huh.
And then, like, at first, maybe people are like, oh, my God, she looks good. But, like, at a certain point, when you're, like, reaching into those 80s or whatever it is.
Hmm.
I mean,
yeah,
that car falls apart.
It gets a little wonky there.
At some point.
Yeah, speaking of age, people are wanting to know, how's your nose?
Yeah, oh, my nose was definitely broken. Absolutely. Okay. It's still painful. Like, it's not... It's got, like, a weird thing going on with the bone now where I can sort of, like, feel it jutting out on the side where it was compressed and smashed.
Okay.
However, the blood and the opened wound aspect has healed up well. I didn't get stitches or anything like that. Probably should have. But I was like, you know what? I'm gonna wear this right now. I'm gonna wear this. So that's what I did. So I didn't. And
well, you didn't go to the hospital for a week.
No, doctor friend of mine was like, you know, all you had to do was put those sticky strips. You could have pinched it together and diminished the scar. I said, you know what? I'm gonna wear it.
Okay.
He's like, no one ever says that. But I was like, you know, in this case, I'm gonna just heal up and wear it. Mm. Oh, baby. All right, listen.
Should we get it started?
Let's get into the show. But that's the beauty of it. Will, listen. Yeah. Well, here's
the
thing.
It's a Friday.
No, not as a Friday. Huh? That's the point of how we are structuring the show from now on.
All right.
Right? It's pre-show, preamble, then show.
Okay.
Right? So, like, we chat, we live. Like, we're humans, right?
Yeah.
I mean, last I looked.
Yeah.
So... Once the show starts, then we go. But you never know. We might put some bookends on it.
Mm-hmm.
At the front and back.
Mm-hmm. Another hour or two?
Anyway, we can do the show now.
Okay, good.
So, Will, your top story today is a knockoff-looking iPhone, actually, from a brand. Oh, I remember this brand. L'Echo? Is that how you say it? L'Echo? Why do I feel like this brand... Were they ever in touch? I don't know how long they've been doing it. But anyway, they launched a new smartphone that can only be described as a shameless knockoff of the iPhone 14 Pro series, right down to the triple lens rear camera design and dynamic island. We'll look closer, and there are some unwelcome hidden surprises. The S1 Pro. 8 gigs of RAM, 128 storage, 5,000 milliamp hour battery. It looks like an iPhone, obviously. Mm-hmm. Probably should order one of these up. I'd like to inspect
one
of these.
We should get one.
Yeah, that could be definitely a kind of interesting segment. Called the L'Echo S1 Pro and costing $135, the copycat device is certainly more affordable than Apple's iPhone 14 Pro models. Yeah, just a little bit. 6.5-inch display, which is LCD rather than OLED. Resolution is 1600 by 728, and it has a 60 hertz refresh rate. Yeah, we're lacking pixels. We're lacking refresh. We're lacking OLED. It does have a dynamic island-like pill-shaped section, which does look like they somehow integrated in the software as well.
That's pretty convincing.
Yeah, but you know when you get in there, clicking, clapping, tapping, that that thing's not bouncing around with any type of... spunkiness.
Spunk.
I feel like it might be a little, but hey, who knows? I don't really know. Maybe they pulled it off. Well, okay. So we've seen these in the past. Like you can go on AliExpress or whatever, and you see as they get closer and closer to release, even you have devices that are mimicking upcoming devices, and then there's such a wide variety of knockoffs. So even in the knockoff universe, it's like, okay, this is a very bad knockoff, and the quality's terrible, and so on. And then there are some that are almost convincing. And then there are some that are not from brands at all, but they just call it, like, the iPhone whatever, and it's not. And it just doesn't have an Apple logo on it. So it's a spectrum of copycat, and there seems to be some gap between copycat and counterfeit.
Uh-huh.
It's once you get into... trying to mimic iOS, and then you have something that looks exactly like an iPhone, doesn't have some other brand on it, has no brand actually, and then has a settings menu that's one-to-one mimicking iOS, well, at that point, you're counterfeit. But this one, on the other hand, it's in that gray area where it's like, well, it's a different brand. They put a different model on it. Obviously, hugely inspired. It gets confusing, doesn't it?
And it makes people, like, this is what bothers me. It's that someone is going to buy this and use it on a regular basis. And it looks exactly like the iPhone, but not probably perform.
Yeah, I know, but the person who buys it will know that they only paid $135 for it, right? So, like, they'll know they don't have an iPhone. They'll know they paid $135, and maybe they'll be okay with that. They'll be
maybe.
Like, I want something that looks like an iPhone. I mean, here's the other aspect of it, Will. Is like you get a lot of people passing judgment based on the type of phone you're using.
Mm-hmm.
Like, look at that guy. He's got that old beater.
Uh-huh.
That old duster over there.
Blackberry.
What kind of life is that guy leading?
Yeah.
And so some people might be saying, I'm sick of getting treated subpar over here. Mm. I'm going to throw the 135 and just walk around town like I'm on an iPhone. Now, I'm not suggesting you should do that. You should probably... Like, who cares about those people? Whatever. Use your beater. Use your duster. Do your thing. That's my advice in general. But I'm not surprised. But I would like to actually inspect it and see how close it really
gets.
Yeah,
we should get it.
Tim Cook takes a $35 million pay cut that he recommended. The Apple CEO's target compensation will be lowered by more than 40% in 2023, according to the company's latest proxy filing. Well, what is this compensation? What is this, Will? Because the man has interest in the company performance. He has stocks and so forth. Does he not?
Yes, he definitely has stocks.
Interesting. Well, I'm sure he has all the advisors in the world that are like, hey, let's restructure. Let's rearrange a little bit.
And it's a good title, you know?
Oh, you know what it's like? It's like when the athlete goes, you know what?
I'm going to give it back.
We want to win the championship this year.
Yeah.
And in order to attract more talent, I'm going to take a pay cut to get under that salary cap.
Exactly.
And everyone goes, all the fans are like.
Brilliant. amazing. Yeah. I mean, that's a lot of money, though.
I just wonder if you heard my, Voss one last time. Yeah, it's a lot of money. Not for Tim, it's not. Tim Cook is taking a big pay cut at his own recommendation. Cook's target compensation decreasing by $35 million in new regulatory filing, dropping from $84 million in 2022 to $49 million in 2023. Changes come entirely from an adjustment in his equity award value, which makes up the bulk of Cook's total compensation. The value is estimated to be worth $75 million, but this year the estimate drops to $40. His base salary of $3 million and his annual cash incentive of $6 million will remain the same. To set Cook's new pay, the compensation committee on Apple's board balanced shareholder feedback, Apple's exceptional performance, and a recommendation from Mr. Cook to adjust his compensation in light of the feedback received. So the group got together and the board, and they said, hey, Tim, listen, bud, it's out of control. You got $100 million last year. Did you really need $100 million? And Tim's like, well,
it'd be nice, you know.
I take your recommendation. I go down to 40. All right, leave me alone. Cook actually made $99.4 million in 2022, according to the filing. So compensation could differ. I suppose there's probably some kind of performance compensation stuff that might not show up in the initial specifics. Is that possible?
I think so.
So maybe that's how you end up making more than the original agreement anyways.
Yeah, I'm guessing there's more incentive in there as well.
And if a lot of the compensation here is equity awards, then it's really going to depend on the value of the company. So in other words, if the stock is doing extremely well when those rewards are administered, then that's going to be worth more than was originally speculated at the time you made the agreement. So if the board seems to think, oh, you know what, this stock price is going to go up and your compensation package includes a certain number of shares, then right now, if we negotiate those shares at one rate, that might be a little bit different at the time that the payout is actually triggered.
For sure.
So it could be some sort of hedging of sorts. He'll be fine. Will. Tim Cook will be fine.
Okay, I hope so.
Apple's custom micro LED display for Apple Watch rumored to be made by LG. Your friendly neighborhood LG.
So just an update of yesterday's story.
Right.
Where we thought that they were going to make their own displays.
Mm.
According to this one, LG is making the displays for micro LEDs. You know what I mean?
Well, listen, this stuff over here, well,
it's always updating.
We were talking about it yesterday, how it's, if you have a subpar display, it is such a glaring thing. Or, I mean, I don't even want to say subpar, but like if you don't hit a home run with your display, everything else can be good and the person will still have issue with it. So it's a huge, huge consideration. And who knows, maybe it's a partial step. Maybe they're like, it's exactly to our spec, or we're more involved in design, or who knows what LG's willing to do for them. But LG obviously has a tremendous history in
displays.
Yeah. My favorite displays, either LG or Samsung, right? Like in most cases, like on the TVs and stuff, the LG stuff is out of control. Apple's custom designed micro LED displays for future Apple Watch models will be made by LG, according to display analyst Ross Young. In a tweet, Young explained that LG Display is constructing a small production line to supply Apple with micro LED displays destined for the Apple Watch model due in 2025. Facility will reportedly supply micro LED backplanes and assemble Apple's displays, opening in the second half of 2024. So they supply the backplanes, but then manufacture on Apple's behalf Apple's own display. So that's interesting because it's not an LG product. It's some sort of a contract to build our product. By the way, this is sounding to me right now. The latest clarification appears to be a response to a report from Bloomberg that said Apple will transition to its own displays starting with micro LED. This is the report we were talking about yesterday on Bloomberg. Earlier this month, analyst Jeff Poo said in a new... Is that poo or pew?
I think it's poo.
What's that? A new high-end Apple Watch will adopt a larger 2.1-inch micro-LED display, providing increased brightness compared to current Apple Watch models with OLED displays. And brightness, kind of important, kind of clutch on the watch, because you're constantly competing with other light sources and outdoors and things like this, particularly when you're on your expeditions with your Ultra and your orange wristband and your SOS calls and your helicopter extractions.
All right.
You know all about it, right?
It's a great movie.
You know all the, all those canyons and bouldering things that you're up to?
Everything's so dark.
And you take your Bronco out there, and you got your chalk.
People want me to full send the Bronco at some point.
Oh, dear goodness. I don't think that's going to happen, ladies and gentlemen. He likes it too much.
We'll see.
You really take good care of it, actually.
Yeah.
But you are supposed to do that.
Like, yeah,
you're supposed to kind of beat it up a little bit. Amid demand concerns, Tesla cuts prices by up to $13K in the U.S. Now, this was the topic that I saw brought up in the chat. And this was a curious one. What is the reasoning? Have they been watching our show? Have they? Did they read the luxury report where we were like, wait a sec, man, Teslas are still expensive. Like, weren't they supposed to come down? Weren't they? Wasn't there supposed to be a cheaper model of Tesla at this point? And then we had the luxury brand comparison. We're like, Tesla ranked number one luxury brand. And you're like, wait, what? Tesla's massively cut prices across new models in the U.S. and Europe, with the largest price drop occurring on the Model Y, which is now $13K and 20% cheaper than it was yesterday. Now, imagine if you had your pre-order, if you had your agreement in advance of that price drop. You're going to want a little compensation or what, Will?
I would like, but...
what do you think, Will?
I think it's hopeless.
You're not going to go for it? Because, wait a second, you only, how long have you had your car for?
2 months.
2 months, and you paid a full pop.
Yeah.
And yours went down, what, like 15%?
I think a couple grand last time I checked.
Yeah, so Elon, call him up. Call him up and be like, hey, man, just a couple grand, what's it to you? Yeah, not like everybody else would do. I wonder what their threshold is for orders and then going backwards on a decrease like that. Over the course of the last year or so, Tesla has continually raised prices, and other automakers have been raising prices as well. But in recent weeks, we've seen signs that Tesla might need to shore up demand, or at least that price hikes have gone a little too far. This is all big picture stuff, global economic stuff. Everyone's worried that the spending goes down, and they're just getting their production figured out, and they're like, uh-oh. We need a place to put these cars. Anyway, so here's a chart with the price difference depending on model. Biggest savings. Oh, look at my car. Model S Plaid, 21 grand. You better stop it, Will. 21,000 US less? You better stop it, Will. I need to call somebody up. Never mind you. I've had mine for too long, though. Holy cow, that is a big price decrease. Well, on that model, a lot of it has to do with the starting price. And it's percentage decreases from as much as 19% or 20% all the way down to 6%. So actually, the Model 3 saw the least in
terms of... Yeah, it wasn't a lot. Every dollar counts.
Yeah, well, easy there. With the $3,000 we're talking here.
Yeah.
So $46,990, and then new entry price into a Model 3, into any Tesla, the new entry price, $43,990, which, no, you're not satisfied. You think it should be 39?
I mean, they were going for the 35K.
Yeah, so
at some point.
So what if you had $39,990? That's a big mental difference, right? It's $43,990, $39,990. But that is very, very interesting stuff. Up to 20 grand in difference. Other configurations, including performance models, have received price cuts. Wow. And then obviously you have tax credits on top of that, right? Jeez Louise. Everyone's going to have one of these electric cars or what? Well,
I hope so.
Tesla's U.S. price cuts mean more models are eligible for the federal EV tax credit. Oh, that's what I was just... I didn't know you had this tab next.
Well... I mean, it was on the chat there.
Is this a separate topic now?
I guess so.
Okay, well, listen.
Talk about it.
Yeah, well, we can, because was it sort of coordinated? Has it been considered? I presume so. In order to make more of these things eligible, Tesla's higher-end Model 3 performance model was discounted by 14.3%. So in order to qualify for the federal tax credit, I guess the price of the vehicle can't be more than a certain amount. Is that the idea? For some of the lower price models, the cuts put them in range to qualify for the U.S. federal tax credits of up to $7,500. Those incentives were made available starting January 1st under the Inflation Reduction Act, and the credit is available on EVs priced under $55,000. So can you do me a favor and just go back to the other chart? Under $55,000. So this brings now in everything. Oh, everything but the S and X. So the Y and the 3 now both fall under that amount. If you add the performance to the Model Y, then no. But that's your most popular Teslas all covered right there. You have the three performance and the Model Y, and they will all get $7,500 more off. And I don't think that that has been included in this particular reduction. So that's big money on the Model Y, isn't it? If you got $13,000 plus $7,500 on the Model Y, it's back at 20. A standard range rear-wheel drive Model 3, the lowest priced version, now lists for $43,990. The higher end, yeah, we already covered that. Inflation Reduction Act signed in August 2022 includes tax credits for the electric vehicles. So for sure this was coordinated with this, with some consideration for this. It's going to be, you know, my feeling now.
What's that?
You're going to see even more Model Y selections. Because it's really brought that price down to far more competitive.
And it's very popular.
It's already popular.
Yeah.
Credits are capped to an income level of $150,000 for a single filing taxpayer and $300,000 for joint filers for new vehicles at $75,000 and $150,000 for used cars. Okay. So there are some tax credit caps on there. This is all very interesting. I felt that electric car adoption was already at some crazy pace. This is anecdotal, but Will, I'm out there in life and people are all telling me my next car is going to be an electric car.
Like, oh, really?
So many. Are you not having that experience? Where people say, which one should I get? Like anything?
Yeah, I get both. Like, there's deniers too. They're like, oh, you know, I'll just wait till they don't, you know, like wintertime, just being here.
Yeah.
It's just reduction in power and all that stuff.
Do you believe them?
What do you mean?
Like, who do you believe more? You got on one side of the spectrum, you got a guy who says, my next car is going to be electric.
Yeah.
And on the other end of the spectrum, you got a guy that's like, well, you know.
Yeah.
Like, who do you believe more? Because the one guy seems completely convinced. The guy that says, I'm going to buy an electric car next. Like, he's 100%.
Yeah.
The other guy might just need a little bit of time before he's persuaded by whatever market forces. Like, what if that $7,500 tax credit was actually $17,000?
Yeah.
Like, it's like there's certain levers you can pull where it just gets crazy. You're just, wow, okay.
It's a good deal, like, not to pass up.
You got this Model 3 you're driving around, and I presume you're saving some money on gas.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Tons of money.
For
but
now.
But then the Bronco kind of, like, evens it out.
Oh, yeah. The Bronco drinks enough for the two of them.
Yeah.
Good stuff.
So I'm dead either way.
Well, you're dead. We all knew that.
Do you want to take a break?
That's what we like about you. Yes, I would love to take a break. We'll be right back in what, like 2 minutes?
Sure.
Okay. Today's sponsor, HelloFresh, taking that stress out of mealtime. We always do HelloFresh ads when I'm hungry. That's the key.
Mm-hmm.
Every time, because then everything, and all of a sudden I'm going through it. I'm in my imagination, I'm eating each one of these dishes. No, you're putting this meal together.
Mm-hmm.
Ingredient by ingredient, so you know what's going in. That's a confidence thing.
Yes.
So when you buy the chicken and sun-dried tomato spaghetti, you just go, okay, I forego the almonds. Zucchini, tomato flatbreads, turkey and sun-dried tomato spaghetti. They're pulling it out of the Hall of Fame. You can see the recipes that everybody else likes, puts the big rating on. Look at the Southwest beef cavatappi. You might take a crack at it, Will. You never know. It could be an actual BBQ burger. Point is, everything shows up at your front door. Stuff is ready fast. It's pretty foolproof as well. It's easy to put it together, and you get the sense of accomplishment after and the confidence seeing the ingredients that go into it. You're eating better because of it. It's HelloFresh.
HelloFresh's festive fare collection features limited-time recipes made with seasonal produce and premium proteins. Get out of the post-holiday slump with these elevated winter classics. We all want to save money this time of year. Eating well is top of mind this month, and it's comforting to know you always get top quality with HelloFresh. Ingredients travel from the farm to you in less than 7 days, so you know they're fresh. This week, I made a vegetarian creamy squash ravioli. It comes with the right amount of ingredients, so there's no waste. The ravioli was perfectly seasoned and subtle. It went well with the richer sauce and cheese, but balanced out with spinach. 25 minutes to make, and a great dish for the colder nights. Go to HelloFresh.com/LouLater21 and use the code LouLater21 for 21 free meals plus free shipping. That's HelloFresh.com/LouLater21 and use the code LouLater21 for 21 free meals plus free shipping. Thank you to HelloFresh.
Spot a couple of comments there in the chat during the break. People say, as long as I live in Alaska, it'll be no EV for me. So definitely some commitment level, depending on region, playing a huge role still.
Infrastructure.
And and infrastructure, which goes with region as well, I guess. And obviously it's built up in some places and less so in others. So, I mean, listen, it's not going to be like all at once, obviously, as they would have you believe. It's going to be a gradual thing, and there's going to be a huge need into the future still for combustion vehicles for certain applications and in certain regions, and no doubt about it.
Yeah.
AirTag-inspired Google tracking device. This is a real thing?
What do you think?
No, this is not real. This is bogus, dude. You're crazy. What are you doing here to me? This is like one of those Onion-type articles.
By Yanko.
Yeah, yeah, but it's conceptual. But yeah, it's conceptual. It's just like a fun time, right?
Yeah, someone's having fun.
Yeah, the most unfortunate name ever, G-Spot, is what they called it. You have found my G-Spot, and which is, I mean, it's novel. It's kind of, I thought for a moment it was feasible because I was like, why doesn't Google make one of these?
Yeah.
Why don't they have their own version of an AirTag type deal? I feel like they could figure that out. Maybe they are working on it. But Yanko Design is obviously, it's like speculative or conceptual, as Will says. And we've covered them a number of times on the channel here. You can see that they've even introduced a case in their design, OB Fiddler. And the case has a kind of like a tiny little lanyard on it.
Uh-huh.
Google's got everything in place. The ecosystem, the map network. Oh, yeah, never mind. The hardware chops, even a highly capable Tensor chip. So why hasn't Google built a tracking device yet? This is very true. So why we don't even need Google to do it. We can do it over here on Yanko Design, and then Google can just take notes.
It's very well done.
And actually just go out and execute it. The other kind of cool thing is they've done it in different colors in this case. Mm-hmm. AirTag you can only get in white. Now, maybe they're worried about the potential PR fallout that Apple has experienced so often with the AirTags and the stalking and everything else. I mean, obviously, it's not every single use or every single application of these trackers, but Google already kind of takes some heat on the privacy front from a privacy standpoint. So you wonder if that plays into their lack of interest in this area up until now. It's either that or they're just taking their time.
Yeah.
But this webpage makes it seem like an actual product.
Right.
This is like an April Fool's type thing.
Uh-huh. Very well done.
It's so well put together here. Look at this.
With the battery, 3D.
Yeah, you would know more than me, Will, putting something like this together. This is ready to go. Google just needs to like hit the button on it. You just need to go, okay, cool. We'll take your pre-orders.
Yeah, approved.
We'll take your pre-orders. This guy just got the job, is basically what happened.
Good job.
Google and Porsche in talks over Google Apps access. Okay. I guess this would go beyond Android Auto. Considering fully integrating. Let's go.
Right.
That's enough for me. Fully integrating Google software into its car cockpit, a source close to the company said on Thursday, marking a shift in strategy for the newly listed car maker. Newly listed car maker? Oh, were they private? They just get on, what? Listed? Maybe. I don't know. They're part of Volkswagen Group, though. Would enable Porsche customers access to Google applications like Google Maps and Google Assistant without needing to connect to the car to an Android phone for Android Auto. I obviously have experience with their setup, and they actually were it was AirPlay compatible prior to being Android Auto compatible. Now, a recent update has brought wireless Android Auto into the Porsche Taycan, at least, but I think any of their vehicles with the latest computer hardware would probably be able to run, have the capability to do it. But this is something that Volvo has done, or Polestar, where the whole thing is basically Android. And so you're running native Android apps. And they were basically like, you know, we don't need to, we can't compete here. Like there's a reason why when it comes to smartphones that these players are so dominant, because they know how to do apps and interfaces, and you already have an enormous app ecosystem. And obviously there's maps and all your music streaming apps and everything else. It exists in there inside of that ecosystem. So taking out that one step and not needing to have the device connected at all times alleviates, I don't know, a little bit of stress there. And it allows you to avoid learning new interfaces, which is one of my main pet peeves with jumping in and out of different cars. Is like, and I don't know how. Each manufacturer takes such a different approach to how they have their layout and how quickly and easily you can find the things that you're looking for. And the current implementation is they have to do their own OS, and then you have like this partially plastered on AirPlay or CarPlay or Android Auto. And it'll be like some section of the screen, and it looks like it's just been bolted on. If you have full integration and it's just like all the time, you start up the car and everything is where you expect it to be.
Now, it says not using an Android phone to connect. How do you connect? Like, is it...
No, it's saying, I mean, you still will be able to connect your phone, obviously, for communications and things coming through. But what they're saying is you don't need your phone connected. So currently, if you get into the Taycan, it's going to look for your phone, at which point it will then launch wireless Android Auto. But it's all coming via the phone and then being wirelessly transmitted to your head unit. Whereas in this case, you will start the car and something that's like Android Auto will be running natively and presumably in a more solid fashion because it's running on the car's hardware.
So how do they know like who's in the car?
Well, you'll just set up different profiles.
Okay.
You'll set up different profiles. And you can set up different profiles with different keys. You could probably set up profiles eventually with different phones. If your phone gets in the car, it launches one Android profile, et cetera. I'm very excited by this. This is I like this stuff. This makes life easier. Sony reveals the release date of the PlayStation 6, and fans go crazy. Are we talking PlayStation 6 already? Listen, they did so well with the 5. There was a time period, Will, and I believe we've covered on the show in the past. There was a moment in time where people were wondering about the future of game consoles. They were like, you know, I don't know. In the future, do we really have them?
It's essentially a PC now. Inside
pretty much, but I don't know why it was really weak at one time, but then like COVID and whatever happened, I don't know, but like it was booming. You couldn't find it. You still can't find a PlayStation 5. Well, anyway, we might as well talk about the PlayStation 6 then, because it'll obviously happen, because they can't stock PlayStation 5s. Sony appears to be already planning for the release of its next console generation, the PS6, as a document from the company says it'll happen around 2027. Therefore, it seems to correct to say that the PS5 still has 5 years before being replaced. Well, that's the nice thing about consoles. They hang around for a bit. A document has been made public as part of the investigation by the UK's Competition and Markets Authority into Microsoft's $68 billion acquisition of Activision Blizzard, a deal that Sony has opposed. Sony believes the deal will harm competition, industry players, and users. The 22-page document states the merger, according to Microsoft, increases competition in a market that Sony has long dominated. The American giant also acknowledged that PS5 exclusives are superior to Xbox exclusives. I can agree with that. It's funny they write it right into the complaint. They're being criticized. You should not be able to make this acquisition. They're like, hey, man, they got better exclusives. Yeah. We need Activision,
man. God of War.
Got better exclusives.
You got Last of Us.
Just let us have Activision for $68 billion. $68 billion. Do they have any mock-ups of what they think it might? That's not real. That's just a squished together. That's just a double pro. Yeah.
No concept.
Okay, no con. Well, that kind of looks at least we know the date. 2027, according to their document. And that's crazy. It actually comes out of a legal development that we come to learn about this particular date, and the legal development having to do with that Microsoft acquisition. So you can see there's still beef, and to this day, they still both want your living room.
Mm-hmm.
But you and I both agree the better exclusives are on PlayStation, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Let's agree with that. Mm. Last of Us is great.
NVIDIA Broadcast can now deep fake your eyes to to make you look at the camera. Oh, that is wild. So I'm looking, but I'm not looking, Will.
Yeah. Here's a demo of it.
I'm looking, but I'm not looking. Get out of here.
I have two cameras which are roughly the same horizontal.
Oh, my goodness.
The software keeps me looking straight at the camera, which I'm doing now physically in the real world.
Okay.
Move my eyes to the side. Just a little bit.
Yeah, you can kind of see the eyes snapping into place.
Look side to side.
But it's only if it's like really ridiculous movements that it's not able to track it. But if it's really subtle, like looking at like...
Well, okay, this has brought something up for me.
Pretty convincing, eh?
That I constantly pay attention to.
Especially with a webcam.
Which is...
Or an iPhone.
When somebody's recording a video and they're looking at the monitor instead of the lens.
Yeah, yeah.
They're recording a video and they're looking to the side. They're looking at themselves, basically. Mm-hmm. And I don't know what it is, why that's so captivating. I understand you want to frame yourself up, but then after that, you have the lens. Like, I'm going to look into the lens right now. You see, like, you know the difference when you're recording. Mm-hmm. Like, which camera do you want me to look at? The far one?
Yeah, the far one.
Okay, so this is right into the lens. This is if I was looking at a screen attached to the camera.
That's pretty close.
Screen attached to the camera?
It's hard to tell, man.
Well, that's because we're on a really long lens.
Okay, yeah.
We're on a really long lens, but most people aren't vlogging from that range. But anyway, obviously the benefit here is people who want to procrastinate. They want to be on the conference and pretend they're paying attention, but really they're looking down and doing something else.
Apology video or something.
Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Yeah.
Well, that's what it's meant.
Well, I wonder about the micro movements while reading a script. I guess that those are actually probably really easy to fix. Mm. Wow. NVIDIA suggests that eye contact will try to make your simulated eyes match the color of your real ones. And there's even a disconnect feature in case you look too far away. So it doesn't try to mimic.
You turn your head.
Your eyes are still on the side of your head. Yeah, that is... I think this is a pretty cool technology. I think people will actually use it. And I like the fact that they kept it relatively subtle.
Mm-hmm.
Like only if you're slightly looking off.
But the snapping of the eyes.
Yeah, it's a little, there is a little bit of a harshness at moments right there. But it's not, yeah, there, and there's a little wobble to it sometimes too. Yeah. I mean, it's not exactly perfect, but... In most cases, I think it's probably superior to not having any eye contact.
But apparently, Apple's done it before on FaceTime. It's called attention correction.
Wow. I've never heard of this stuff.
Microsoft has it as well.
That was in FaceTime in 2018. In the current versions of iOS, it's labeled as eye contact in settings for FaceTime. Wow. All right. Well,
but I never knew it.
Give that a crack. No, I never heard about it either.
Yeah.
I think it's probably less useful on the phone on FaceTime than it is on like a video conferencing app or something on desktop.
Yeah.
Anyway.
All right, last one.
This is another one that people were talking about in the chat, and then I needed clarification. People said, Kanye just got married. People keep calling him Kanye, by the way, even though he really wants to be called Ye. But everybody's like worried about the SEO and everything else, I guess, writing these articles. Anyway, according to reports, TMZ, others, he apparently got married again. And what at first they were calling a mystery woman, and now they're saying that she's a Yeezy architectural designer. And yeah. I don't know if that means actual architecture. Does that mean like buildings, or does that mean...
It must mean something very abstract. I would imagine.
Oh, you think you don't
working
think,
with Kanye?
So you don't think it's actual buildings? You think it's?
I thought that at first.
Well, I don't know because he's also talked about building these communities of huts, and that Yeezy would be doing architecture.
Okay, sure.
Anyway, so Kanye West isn't just hanging around with a mystery blonde. She doesn't seem to have blonde hair in that picture. He's also married to her. A private ceremony. Her name is Bianca Sansori from Australia, and she has worked as an architectural designer at Yeezy for several years. And she used to have brown hair, but recently, these articles are wild. It's just like details about the, she used to have brown hair. Now she's cut it and it's short and blonde, though we're told it appears they've filed for a marriage certificate to make it legal. Some sort of wedding ceremony. You know what? Like, I can't even, it's hard to.
This was a couple days ago. They were just out.
It's hard to have a comment on this because I don't know. Well, I don't know anything, for one.
Yeah.
Right? Like, everything that's been going on recently with him is, it's hard to read.
Yeah. What is truth?
Yes. What is performance? What is truth? What are these appearances? What are these moves? It's like everything seems like fiction, which is okay, I guess. I guess you can make of life whatever you please to a certain extent within the parameters set forth as far as public safety and so forth. You can do whatever you want. You can lie. You can make a drama out of your life. You can get divorced and married and so on. And it can be architectural Yeezy people, and it can be Kim Kardashian lookalikes, and you can run for president if you want. Even so, that's kind of the fun part about life. I hope that this has made him very happy, and that this is the real deal over here. But I you know,
yeah, we always talk about him. He's always in our radar.
Well,
whether it's on air or
once something private or someone is in your algorithm, it's very difficult to get them out. And truthfully, he's been kind of quiet compared to where it was at. It was a fever pitch.
Yeah.
With the interviews and stuff that was going on and the comments, and then the drink champs, and then the, like, it was pretty wild. I remember I was looking at Google Trends, and it was a lot of people talking about it. But yeah, things have cooled off a little bit. That might actually be for the better, momentarily. Settle down. Have a new wife that you love very much. I don't know, Will. I don't know what to tell you on that. Thank you very much to everybody who joined us here today. Shout out to everybody in the chats. Shout out to Adam and Serge and Vishnav and Metal Hendrix. Yeah, like,
cool name.
Listen, guys, I know, I see what's going on. We're plugging, everything is getting plugged in right now, including your input. And that's the whole idea behind the pre-show concept and the chat concept and everything else that's going on. So we truly do appreciate your input, and to everybody that's contributing in one way or another. It is greatly appreciated. Even if your support is just like watching this show or watching some of the clips or whatever else it is, it really helps us dial things in, and it helps us keep things going. And obviously the super chats as well. Thank you, Michael. We really do appreciate it. So I guess we won't see you until Monday.
Monday.
But we will see you Monday, and it's the same place, same time, same channel. We'll see you for the pre-show at 11 Eastern, and we'll see you for the main show at noon Eastern. If you want to contribute your own stories, things that you're interested in and want to talk about, then just get there for the pre-show. And otherwise, I'll see you at noon on Monday on this channel. Thanks again. Later.